So good afternoon and good day, everyone. Welcome to MS Ignite New Zealand. My name is Julian, and today I'm going to share with you a little bit about one of the newest features from Azure itself. It's called Azure Data Lake. A little bit about myself, right? I'm part of the Advanced Analytics pillar in Microsoft. And in this pillar, we've got a team, the overall team is a global black belt team, where my coverage right now is within Australia and New Zealand. So you'll see me coming around. I'm based in Sydney, but you'll see me coming around New Zealand pretty often, right? A little bit about myself in the sense that before Microsoft, I was with this rather small company, which I'm not too sure you guys have heard of, Revolution Analytics. We were taking open source R and commercializing it. And sometime last year, Microsoft acquired us, right? And now in that transition, it's about 18 months since acquisition, there've been, you know, you've heard of, you know, quite a number of things that have been happening with the R product. It's got integrated into SQL. Now you'll see R inside HD Insights. You know, well, there was already R in Azure ML, but they're thinking of ways to actually improve that with the new algorithms that are coming from the Revolution acquisition. So it's been quite an exciting journey for me personally, because the last 18 months have been a lot of learning. I mean, I came from a really small, tiny company with five of us covering the whole of Asia, now into a giant, humongous ship, right? Yeah, in terms of you know, where the product's growing and the excitement in the pillar in advanced analytics, yeah, lots to learn and lots to share. So today, Azure Data Lake, right? Any of you guys heard of? I'm sure quite a few have heard of Data Lake, but have you guys heard of Azure Data Lake? All right. So without further ado, let me just talk a little bit about it, right? So this is just a briefer to and the motivation behind the Azure Data Lake, right? Traditionally, we've seen, you know, analytics have been over predefined structures, right? You know, with the data seems to be very, you know, row column kind of data sets, right? And, you know, we've generally got limits to size and scale, right? Because, you know, this happens in a data warehouse in a tabular kind of structure, right? And the questions are typically answered in a BI kind of environment, right? Where it's a very historical look back into the data. Where were my product sales in the last quarter? What was my highest grossing product, right? And as we move into the new world, right, of big data, and with, you know, we want to look at, you know, visualizations and doing exploratory analytics, the characteristics of our data actually changes, right? We've got new unstructured and semi-structured data, right? Data that comes in real time, you know, with in small packets, IoT-based kind of data. You've got no schemas to write, and the questions, you know, start getting heavier, right? What product would Tim buy in future? So you're looking at, you know, predictive, prescriptive kind of analytics. What promotions should we run for Tim to purchase? What new SKUs should we offer, right? So, and that, you know, grows, you know, the size of the data set and also the complexity, right? The variety and the velocity of that. Okay. So typical data warehousing, they use a very top-down sort of approach, right? We, you know, we look at our problem, right? We gather requirements, we build out that technical requirements, and then we go get that data set, right? Or we, you know, we implement the data warehouse with its infrastructure, with the ETL, and then, you know, we do that dimensional modeling, and then we do the reporting, right, back as a BI dashboard, right? And this is typically what you see in a very top-down sort of approach, right? You start off from the dashboards, you go down to the data warehouse, you do the ETL, and then you pull out the relevant data sources, where it's from your OLTP, ERP, CRM kind of systems, and flush it all the way to the top. But the data lake, right, where we're thinking of is really sort of a bottom-up kind of approach, right? Where you could just basically ingest all types of data sets, right? Store all that data and do all the analysis in one place, right? So you're looking at data that is high velocity, like your social, Twitter kind of data from your devices, to even data sets that are very unstructured, right? Video, images, web logs, right? Click streams, and then of course, you know, the more traditional, you know, relational kind of data sets, right? And we want to store them all in this location because this is where, you know, the beauty of where analytics gets in, right? Because if you want to do predictive machine learning kind of activities, you might want to, you definitely will pull in data sets from CRM. You definitely pull in data sets that are, you know, what, you know, what's happening with in the social sphere from Twitter, Facebook, right? And we want to find, you know, their relationships between what my customers are doing with my products and maybe what they're doing in the social space, right? So if we could put it all together, right? I mean, we could build better features, build better models to target and, you know, create better value back to our customers. So this is where Data Lake comes from, right? It's a very bottom-up kind of approach. We start off with data, and then, you know, we slowly build out, you know, various use cases and problems to solve, okay? Data lake and data warehouses can also work very much together, right? Because, you know, the data warehouse does in terms of that historical OLTP kind of scenarios to, you know, having a place where you can actually have that unstructured component, right? I mean, and you know, once you've maybe built up all those sort of features that you have from your data lake, right? We can actually then store that inside SQL Server or in a SQL data warehouse, which then can be flagged down to a report, right? Because the way where we can actually merge these two technologies together improves in terms of, you know, we're getting to that predictive scenario. What will happen? What if? How risky it is, etc. Okay, so data lake, right, is a new series of services, PaaS services that are coming out from Azure itself, where we'll have a complete dissociation between storage and compute, right? So actually, if you think of Azure Data Lake, there are actually two services, two main services, Azure Data Lake Storage and Azure Data Lake Compute, right? And the storage, which, hang on, just trying to, there's my mouse, yeah. So this is the storage, which is actually, what we've built is actually rather, think of it as HDFS for the cloud. Right, and so that's Azure Data Lake Storage, and on the top part is actually the various compute analytical services that you can run on top of the storage, right? And the idea for behind Azure Data Lake is that analytics on any size, any data, all users could be productive on day one, right? And completely ready for the enterprise, which means there's a concern for security. Right, there's integration to your AD facilities, right? So, and yeah, so you can think of any types of analytics, batch, streaming, interactive, that will work on the data, right? And you can see here, right, Azure Data Lake Analytics, right? There are different ways to actually work on that data, right? You can see, you know, there's batch, right? With through MapReduce, Hive, USQL, Pig scripts. You can run NoSQL, Apache HBase, to kind of even streaming data sets, right? From a Storm cluster or Spark cluster, right? Interactive with Spark Scala, you can run it on top of the Azure Data Lake. For machine learning, right? You can, you know, you can use PySpark, you can use Sparkly. Spark R, those kind of machine learning techniques, and even including also the Microsoft R, Scale R algorithms on the data lake itself. In fact, at the end of the day, at the end of, you know, this 1 hour quick session, I'll show you an example of how I actually take some data sets and run it on a Microsoft R platform where the data is actually on data lake itself, right? So you could do quite a number of that open source analytics by using the Azure Data Lake Storage. That's one of the powers of this product, right? So, okay, so just to iterate again, right? Azure Data Lake Store, there's no limits to scale. You can store any data in its native format. It really is Hadoop distributed file system for the cloud, right? Enterprise ready, right? Because we've built in access controls, encryption at rest, into it, and it's optimized for analytical workload performance. Okay, so okay, I guess this is just in terms of the challenges that customers have. With data's in silos, you wanna allow your data scientists or analysts to actually use all that data that they have. So you need a platform that's really powerful for analytics, right? Performance and scale. At the same time, as an organization, you want to have that security, right? Compliance, you may have compliance challenges, and you want a way to actually lock down that data, ensure that only the right people have access to the right folders, to the right files, right? Okay. So the data lake, right, is this HDFS for the cloud. It's built from the ground up as Hadoop file system, right? So there's, again, support for file folder objects and operations. You can integrate this with HD Insight, Hortonworks, Cloudera in Azure itself. What that means is that you can start up a HD Insight cluster and use Azure Data Lake for storage, right? And I'll show you an example of how to do that. And similarly, you can do the same for Hortonworks, Cloudera, right? And when you have that, your cluster basically has access to all that data in Azure Data Lake Store. So, and when you have a full cluster, you have all the kind of services that you have in a typical Hadoop cluster, right? Your Spark, Spot, Storm, Flume, Scoop, R, Kafka, PySpark, all of that within the Hadoop environment, right? And it's accessible to all HDFS compliant projects, right? Some key features about, like I said, about the data lake storage is, again, being able to have security, right? And that's in terms of making it compliant to enterprises. There's Azure Active Directory integration, file and folder level access control, audit data access, encryption of data at rest, right? And durable and highly available. Right now, the services have not been rolled out to in the Asia region at the moment, but it will be soon. Right now, we have two Azure data centers that actually have Azure Data Lake, and that's in the US and one in EMEA, right? So because it's based on Hadoop distributed file system, right, this automatically replicates your data. You have three copies within a single region, and they are highly available. And unlike your storage that we have right now in Azure, right, blob storage, this does not have any limit in file sizes, right, or even account sizes, right? You literally could store petabyte size type of files on this platform, right? And there is no limit to scale, right? So if you think of what's available right now in Azure blob storage, this overcomes that, okay? And the other thing is that, Azure Data Lake storage, right, is optimized for analytical workload performance. It's built for running large, analytical kind of streams, those high I/O kind of read writes that you would imagine in a platform that does machine learning, iterative machine learning. That's what you need, right? And optimize for massively parallel computations over petabytes of data, and automatically optimize for any throughput. Okay. So high frequency, low latency, read immediately, right? One of the reasons is because data lake storage is actually based on solid disk as compared to drives, right? And that's one of the reasons why you can have that high I/O kind of low latency, small writes, right? Optimized for scenarios such as IoT, real-time fraud detection, clickstream analysis, etc. Okay, so let me just quickly run you through into a very quick demo of how exactly you can start up an Azure Data Lake storage. Okay. And I'll just jump into this machine. Okay, so welcome to the Azure portal. Some of you will be very familiar with this. I've actually started up on my own, a couple of the Azure Data Lake services and Data Lake Analytics and Data Lake Storage services together with a HD Insight cluster. But I'll walk you through how easy it is to actually start up this the data lake storage. So all you have to do is have an Azure account. You can go to Visual Studio, and as a developer, you can get a Visual, and start up with an Azure subscription there, right? Or if you're an enterprise customer, you can have you can start out with your enterprise subscription also. So once you're here, for simplicity's sake, I put it all into a resource group, so that's easy to manage. But all you have to do is just go here and click add, and say that you want a Azure Data Lake, right? Okay, so you'll have an Azure Data Lake, and it's right now in preview, right? And just go create. Okay. Okay, so you can call it as how you like to call it. And let's just call it Azure Data Lake, right? MS Ignite, right? And right now, as I said, there's East US right now. There's a location that we have that's available. And pricing is as pay as you go. So you only get charged for storage once you actually load data, just like blob storage. But this is the Azure Data Lake store, right? Okay, that's it. And that's, you've created that Azure Data Lake storage, and I'll show you a little bit of how it looks like. Okay, so this will take some time to deploy. But once it gets started up, this is how it looks like, right? So you'll see, again, levels to monitor, right? This is, again, I've loaded up some data. This is the location, the URL, right? You can see there's activity logs, just like most of our Azure services. But one thing that's if you like to see is actually the Data Explorer. So this is quite useful. You can actually see, again, this is the folder structure of some of the data sets that I've uploaded onto this environment. You'll see things like folders and some data sets here. I'm actually going to use this data set in a moment. And you can actually give, again, like I said, because Azure Data Lake storage has been built with security in mind, you can actually, again, assign different levels of access to this file or folder, right? Okay, so in this instance right now, there's only one user right now, and just this me. But you can, if you have multiple users that are using the data lake storage, again, you can provide them different read, write, execute kind of access to that data, right? Okay, so that is Azure Data Lake storage, very easy. If you want to upload data, right, there is an upload function here. And you can actually go ahead and select a file. Sorry. Select a file of interest and then go ahead and upload that, right? Another way to actually get data into your Azure Data Lake storage is that you can use your tools to actually upload to a blob storage. And there's actually a command line that allows you to copy data between your blob storage to an Azure Data Lake, right? So one of it is actually called ADL copy. If you go to MSDN, you actually can download this command line interface so that you can actually copy data from sources like your blob storage and send them to the Azure Data Lake store, right? So this is one example of where I can actually upload data from my blob storage into my Azure Data Lake store, right? Of course, given the right source keys, and also it's good that it's also in the same data center, right? So that you reduce the egress and ingress sort of costs. Okay. So that's Azure Data Lake storage, and we shall move a little bit into. Sorry, which one?
Oh, the zero one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll learn how to make that out bigger. Okay. Okay. So, very quickly on the Azure Data Lake storage. Now we're going to Azure Data Lake Analytics, right? So, like I said, the whole design concept for Azure Data Lake, there is a total separation between storage and compute, right? So, whatever you store, you only pay for whatever you store on that storage. If you need to use some sort of analytics layer, then you call out, either Azure Data Lake Analytics, or you'll use a Hadoop cluster, or you'll have different services that can work on that data from the Data Lake store, right? And for Azure Data Lake Analytics, there's no limits to scale. What we've done is that we've actually created our own sort of way to query the data, and that is through USQL. It's a language that unifies the benefits of SQL, and most of us are, SQL sort of programmers, with the power of C#, right? And Microsoft, we've been writing quite a bit in C#, so this the merging of these two languages is what we now have as USQL, right? And I'll show you some example of USQL. It's not that difficult to write. It's if you look at it, SQL developers will actually will see that it's quite easy to interpret. C# developers will also see that it has all that functionality, the familiarity of C#, right? So it's optimized to work with ADL store, but it can also do federated queries, right? And this is also another powerful concept from Azure Data Lake Analytics, which means to say that you can have a SQL database or SQL data warehouse, but that call to maybe do a group by or select statement happens from Azure Data Lake Analytics. And that's completely possible with this product, right? So it works across different Azure data sources, right? Enterprise ready, because there's RBAC and also auditing, right? You can see the kind of queries that are actually happening. And the best part about Azure Data Lake Analytics is that it's a pay-per-job kind of pricing model, right? So we don't charge you a single cent until the moment that you submit the job to Azure Data Lake Analytics for consumption, right? And there's also a nice meter, I'll show it to you in a moment, where you can decide how much parallelism you can provide to your query, right? So if you find this query is running way too long, right, you can actually turn up the knob and get a faster result back, right? Okay. So this is analytics that directly scale matching your needs, right? So data scientists, if you're a data scientist in the room, you know that sometimes doing this, preparing your data sets or feature engineering can be very time consuming, right? Because it involves maybe merging a lot of data sets, cleaning them up to actually build that feature model, right? And if you could have a way that you could have all the compute resources in the world happening for that query, right? Wouldn't it be magical to have this slider just go up and down whenever you need it, right? So that's where Azure Data Lake Analytics has, it has that slider bar with a few clicks, you provision the amount of resources. And you can do this also from a Visual Studio standpoint, right? If you start up Visual Studio, we have an Azure Data Lake Analytics component, right? As a plugin. Once you have installed the plugin, you can actually, develop in that environment, right? And as I said, it's designed to include not just Azure Data Lake storage, right? You can do this on different types of data sets, right? You can do this on your typical blob storage, your Azure blob storage. You can do this on the Azure SQL PaaS database, or it could be an IaaS database, right? It could also be on Azure SQL Data Warehouse, right? The MPP SQL, Azure SQL in the cloud. So different kinds of ways for you to actually interact with the data, but from a unified platform of USQL, right? Okay. So you can be productive without worrying about infrastructure, because There's no idea of provisioning of VMs here. There's no idea of provisioning of networks or if you're doing parallel computing, right? There's none of that, right? So you can deploy big data projects within minutes and seconds. There's no hardware to install, tune, configure, deploy. And you can scale to tens of thousands of machines instantly, right? So that all happens in the back end, right? You don't even need to worry about that. Okay. And like I said, all of this can be productive in a robust development environment, and that is actually Visual Studio. So we've got that deep integration. I'll show you how to do that with Visual Studio itself. And if you've got the familiarity of SQL, again, when you write a use SQL, it's very much similar to that. Maybe the C# parts are unfamiliar to you. But if you're a C# developer, you'll see that. And I'm sure C# developers would be familiar. You can pick up SQL pretty easily too. So in this entire environment, you get to see, I'll show this in terms of how you can actually develop your use SQL and actually execute it from the desktop. Okay. So use SQL, simple and powerful language, simple and familiar, easily extendable. And it's nature of SQL, of expressive power of C#, familiar syntax to millions of .NET developers. Okay, so we're really empowering the SQL .NET developers with big data, right? And you can see here, this is just a snapshot, right, of what a USQL script looks like. You can see in your query, you're basically extracting, date, time, author, tweets, right, from a CSV file. And then, you're having a select statement, and then you're basically outputting that using Azure Data Lake Analytics to write it back out into a CSV file, right? Okay. So, just to recap again, the two main services, Azure Data Lake Storage and Azure Data Lake Analytics, right? They are designed to be, we've got an SLA of 99.9%, fully managed and monitored and supported by Microsoft. There's no IT resources that are required for upgrading or patching, since this is actually really a PaaS type of model, right? And so all of that's taken care of for you, right? And then you have that peace of mind that you can, continuously run. And like I said, there's the security that's built into it, right? Manage and secure your data assets, auditing, alerting, access control within a single web-based kind of portal. Or of course, you can use the Azure command line to set that up. Azure Active Directory integration for identity and access management, right? Okay, and really, this is really the benefit that we're giving back to customers is a complete total, a lower total cost of ownership, right, for a big data platform. Because you're only paying for the storage and the compute, which is at a per query sort of level, right? You do not need to, again, procure hardware licenses, to set up big servers to actually get into big data. You only pay for what you use and not more than you need, right? And again, scale the storage when you need to or scale the compute when you need to. Okay, and just some of you may have noticed, but a little bit of where Azure Data Lake comes from. It actually comes from internally in Microsoft. We actually have our own, well, not quite Hadoop, but a big data store, which actually powers Office 365, Xbox, Bing, Windows, etc. Right. So one of the largest big data projects. And actually, probably one of the biggest clusters, are in Microsoft, and it's that technology that has been really much the core of Azure Data Lake, right? So it's the same technology that actually powers Microsoft, right? Okay, so maybe I have one or two questions before I jump into the demos, right? And I'm willing to take them if there are any questions so far. Yes, gentlemen. There. Yeah, so non-static sort of data, like, you know, your streaming data. Yes, absolutely, you can do that, and it's actually designed for that, like the IoT scenarios, right? You know, where you have small packets of data being moved into a storage component. You can have, again, like, you know, you can have that HD insight. You have a Storm or Spark cluster, but using Azure Data Lake storage, right, to feed that data and land it in the data lake. Right, we've designed it such that, you know, yeah, this type of use cases are definitely doable on the Azure Data Lake environment. Okay, I don't see any hands, so I'll jump into a demo straight away. Right, I mean, I want to show you again, how easy it is to provision that Azure Data Lake analytics, and I've also taking the feedback from in front. If it's too small, just let me know, okay? So this is, I guess now it's slightly bigger, right? Okay. Okay, so we're back at my portal. All right. Okay. And I'll show you something that I already built up, and that is, hang on a minute. This is my Azure Data Lake Analytics, right? Okay. So is this big enough for everyone? Okay. So you'll see here, you know, I got it started up, right? You can see the data sources that it has right now. So I'm actually just using the one that I created earlier, right? It's an Azure Data Lake storage. I put it as a data source, but again, you can include different data storage types, right? You can use SQL database, you can use a SQL data warehouse, or you can use a blob storage, right? And then this shows you again some graphs, some charts about some of the jobs that I ran last couple of days. Some have failed, some have succeeded. The kind of compute hours that it took, and that in some ways is a measure of your consumption, right? And one thing cool about the Azure Data Lake Analytics is that it's got nice sample scripts. Okay, so this is actually the, because right now it's still in preview, and we're trying to get more people to utilize it. So, you know, we've come up with some nice sample scripts for everyone to learn, right? So before you run these sample scripts, my advice is actually to copy some sample data into the data lake storage, right? Because you can't run these things without some data. But once it's done, it's very easy. Actually, it's very small data sets. You can go ahead and query the, make a query, right? Okay, so this is actually a USQL job here, right? And I'm actually going to... Okay, so this is actually the USQL, and you'll notice down here, like I said, like, you know, this is the magic of Azure Data Lake Analytics, right? Because you have this this bar where you can actually, if you feel your query is not running fast enough, you can actually just slide it up, and you have different levels of parallelism to speed it up. So in this example, this is just querying a TSV file. Right, we've got some search log data, which is part of the sample data set stored inside the Azure Data Lake store. And what we're doing is just basically reading it and writing it back out into a tab-separated file, right? And you can just go ahead and submit the job. And because it's a... Azure Data Lake Analytics is a think of it as a YARN-based kind of service, right? It actually like a Hadoop cluster. It would, you know, you send a job, they'll prepare the job, queue it, and then run it, right? Okay. Okay. So this is what is happening inside the. Inside Azure Data Lake Analytics, right? It's actually taking that search log tab-separated value file, right? And it should be showing green. Okay, so it's queued. So that means it's not running at the moment, right? Okay, and now it's running. where you'll see different vertices or tracks that are being or containers, right, that are being used to actually read this data and process this data, right? You should see the number of bytes that are used to read the data, right? Okay, and okay, so this is the amount of data that's been read. It's actually a very small file, only 3 kilobytes, and it's written out 2.79 kilobytes. It's taken 3 seconds to process in this component, and the amount of rows that we've read is a very small data set. It's only 23 rows, and because we didn't have a SQL component to this, we didn't write any SQL query to do an aggregate job, or we didn't do a group by. Right, I mean, this basically just jumps straight out into writing it, right? I mean, this is where the port that does into in terms of the aggregation. You can imagine if you're doing, a series of complicated SQL queries, you can have multiple aggregate ports, and then, you do a combined job, just like a MapReduce sort of job. Okay, so that's done, right? I mean, that's so this is an example of where you can do that from here. But I strongly wouldn't recommend you actually developing your code on a web-based interface and running uSQL from here. The best way to actually develop uSQL is in a Visual Studio environment. And I hope everybody can see my Visual Studio here. Okay, so unfortunately, it's not in a presenter kind of view, so I can't zoom it in. But essentially, so I've got a couple of data sets here. It's actually some credit card fraud data, right, which I developed in uSQL. And again, what I want to do is, again, I can create a table for this fraud data, right? I mean, and this data has got things like customer ID, gender, state information, card holder, balance, number of transactions, credit card, the credit line that a bank would give to an individual, and also the risk of this is a measure of whether this individual customer ID is of risk of fraud, right, or a fraud candidate. So we could actually put all of that in this table. I've done some things like I've clustered and partitioned that so that, in terms of when the query is done, it can be slightly faster, and then insert them into this database, right? So I can show you a little bit of how the file looks like. And remember, you can actually look at it from here on your data lake store, right? And if you go to the Data Explorer, and if you go to my test folder here, this is how the file looks like, right? It's a 292 megabyte file. It's in CSV. And you can have a look at that, right? So this is how the raw data looks like. Again, this is customer ID. Some have got balances, etc. Right? I mean, it's just an ordinary CSV file that I've uploaded onto Azure Data Lake Store. Right? Okay. So you can see here also in this environment, there are also two ways to. Some of you may have noticed there are also two ways to actually execute this uSQL. Right? You could test the uSQL in local. Right? And if you have a, what that means is that before you even send the uSQL to Azure Data Lake Analytics for processing, you can test this out on your local machine if the queries are working right, and that sort of thing. Right. So that's one beauty of having it in this environment, because you can choose to compute it in Azure Data Lake Analytics in the cloud, or you can choose it into a local environment. But in this case, we're going to just do this on Azure Data Lake, on the Azure Data Lake itself. And in this case, also, if you look at before I submit, right? again, there are different levels of parallelism, right? So this is, the job name is actually going to query a table, and this is using the Azure Data Lake analytics. And again, like I said, this is the beauty of the slider bar, right? You can actually define the level of parallelism based on the data that you have. There's also the kind of job priority in terms of if you have multiple users using the data lake analytics, you can define, you know, what level priority the job should be. Right, and if I'm happy with that, I can just go ahead and submit it, right? Again, here, I'm just, it's just a simple query of trying to find customers with have a balance greater than 10,000, right? I mean, okay. So this is the proper development environment for data scientists or, you know, .NET developers or who want to query on the data lake, right? Using Azure Data Lake Analytics, right? And you can see here, there's quite a bit of diagnostics that are being provided. There's the history of the query itself, right? And you can see here, time that is taken and time, the bytes that are being processed, the size of the data is being processed, being queued. Okay, now it's being executed, right? And you'll see some of these counters moving in just a moment. Okay. Okay, and this is actually the progress of the different jobs that are being that's running in Azure Data Lake, right? So that's Azure Data Lake Analytics for everyone. I mean, it's all running right now. I will just jump back into my slides right now and talk about the bigger picture that's happening in this space, right? So this is all integrated into this the whole stack called Cortana Analytics, right? Where Cortana in the cloud, where we're trying to build this intelligent cloud, includes a variety of services, right? So on the left-hand column here, you see information management, data factory, Azure Data Catalog, event hubs, and also there's a new Azure IoT hub, right, for you to ingest large volumes of data into the cloud and do two-way communication, right? So even IoT hub can actually sort of manage the devices that you have. Then you have the big data stores, right? You have your Azure, we now have Azure Data Lake Store, SQL Data Warehouse, and, of course, your traditional blob storage, right? And on top of that, we have the machine learning analytics, right? So there's Azure Machine Learning, right? Which I think there are some workshops today on Azure Machine Learning where you can actually build, again, a variety of machine learning scenarios and publish that as a web service, right, for the entire consumption. Of course, there's Azure Data Lake Analytics Service, which I just talked about. And we've got Azure HD Insight, which is your Hadoop, your traditional Hadoop kind of environment, PaaS service on the cloud, right? Then there's also Stream Analytics. Stream Analytics is a beautiful way to communicate with data that's going to IoT Hub, Event Hub, those high velocity streaming style data sets, but query it in a SQL-like language, right? The beauty of Azure Stream Analytics, you have these sort of windowing concepts, tumbling windows, hopping windows inside the SQL query itself for you to again, you know, pump that data back to a blob storage, a SQL database, or even Power BI, right? And of course, the right hand column here, this column actually on the right hand side is actually changing quite fast. Well, there's Power BI and Cortana, but the area where you see perceptual intelligence, that's now known as the Cortana Intelligence Services. We'll see face APIs, we've got emotion APIs, text to speech, speech to text. There's also, you know, the language understanding intelligence service, LUIS. We've got the Bing services getting incorporated into that, Yeah, so from a overall perspective, it's a complete end-to-end kind of solution for customers to consider the various ways to get into advanced analytics, right? From the right. Okay, so I talk about one example, right? I mean, this is again part of, I guess, my interest because I come from a cancer research sort of background. I started off my career, interestingly, in cancer research before I moved to IT. But you know, stories like this are truly amazing because I know some people will say big data. Oh my goodness, we've been doing big data for the longest time. But I mean, I say that you know, in the field of bioinformatics and genomics, that's where big data really, really started, in my opinion. You know, right after the first human, after we sequenced the human genome, right? There's a lot of post-genomic era generated quite a lot of data. And, you know, this one example is actually Virginia Tech in terms of processing DNA sequences. If you've seen how a genomics machine looks like, right? I mean, that thing can just, you know, burn through disk. Right, because it generates so much data, right? They generate 15 petabytes a year. Again, the challenge was, how do we actually, we use this network supercomputers to process all these sort of sequences, but could we use the cloud, again, to leverage on the unlimited compute capability there, literally almost unlimited compute capability there on the data, right? So that's where it came with HD Insight and Azure Data Lake to actually process these sort of sequencing data, right? Okay, so that's one example for you. Again, this is still in private preview. Sorry, not really in private, it's actually in preview. It's not actually general availability yet, but you can go ahead and try it out and test this out on your own. Okay, so final demo before I come to the end is really about how do I use HD Insights on my Azure Data Lake. Right, and in this example, I'm also going to use R, the Microsoft R version to run on the Azure Data Lake. Right. Okay. Okay. Now I've lost my mouse. Okay, hang on a minute. Seems that the keyboard on my Surface Pro is not responding. Okay, so I'm back here, and what I want to show you is actually. This HD Insight cluster, right? So the difference about this HD Insight cluster is that it has what I've done is actually created access for it to Azure Data Lake, right? Okay. Okay. So this is just a simple HD Insight cluster. It's a 5-node cluster. I am using the HD Insight Premium cluster because it comes with the Microsoft R component as an edge node onto it, right? And you can see here it's not very big. It's only 2 head nodes and 2 worker nodes and 1 edge node. So a total of a 5-node Hadoop cluster. What I want to show you is that in here there is a cluster AADI identity, right? And this is the part where you will need to create a service principal, right, for your HD Insight to connect and to talk to the Azure Data Lake storage. And in the service principal, you define which folders they can, you know, this service principal can read and write, right? So this is where you know the security for Data Lake storage has been built in. So when that HD Insight cluster has been created, right? It can't just go ahead and read and write on the Data Lake store. It needs to work with this service principal and authenticate to be able to read and write into that. Okay. So, and you can see here, right? This. Okay, so this is actually the accounts that I have, and the kind of I can select different folders and give it different read write sort of access. Okay. Okay. So I've created this HDInsight cluster. Now let's get to it, right? Okay, let me just close all the tabs. Okay, so I have here actually the cluster has been started up, right? So you can see here that this is the cluster, right? It has this is the edge node, right, on Linux file system, a command line, and I've done some, you know, simple Hadoop commands to it, right? Hadoop fs-ls/, and somehow my keyboard isn't working. hang on a minute, because I want to type something. Okay, hang on a minute. That's not good. Hang on a minute. Okay, so anyway, it doesn't actually quite allow me to type. Okay, now I got my mouse back, okay. Okay, so very quickly, what I'm going to do is actually I'm going to start up a R environment, and then I'm going to change some settings on my R to enable it to point to an Azure data lake, right? Okay, so since I've got my mouse back, I'm just going to copy this out. So this is actually where the data lake store is, right? And you can verify this, right, by using this command. Okay. Okay, so this is again from the Hadoop environment. So this is actually where the technology between HDInsight and Azure Data Lake meets, right? Because right now we're actually just making a Hadoop command, which should normally work with your blob storage, but now I'm actually querying the Azure Data Lake, right? So this is a Hadoop FS command, right, on the Azure Data Lake store, and you can see this is exactly to how it is in our Azure portal, right? And all those different sample data sets are here. Okay. So you can use different kinds of applications on this, right? You can use your Spark R, you can use Scala, you can use Python, you can create, you know, or a Hive, all the kind of various Hadoop services, but using Azure Data Lake as storage, right? You just need to remember that that's the path of where your data is, right? Now for R, okay, I'm just going to start it up right now. This is the Microsoft R version that's available on HDInsight's Premium. And you'll see here, it'll show you this Microsoft R open, but if you want, you can see that, you know, this is really, you know, you've got the Revel Scale R packages and all of these sort of functions. So I'm going to show you how I actually set this up. And this is some sample code. Right, so I'm going to say that the name node is, because it's actually the Azure Data Lake store, as the, like I said, Azure Data Lake storage is really like HDFS in the cloud. So we need to provide that sort of name node to it for it to interact with the HDFS layer. Right, and then I create something like this where I say that this is basically a function in Microsoft Scale R to define the file system. And then I say this is RX text data where I'm creating a pointer to where the CSV data is, right? And I also say that strings has false, delimited, etc., right? So I can just go ahead and copy this out and execute this. And immediately I can go ahead and interact my data, right? Okay. So from an R data scientist perspective, you know, if you have, you know, petabytes of data, etc., you can just go ahead and interact with petabytes of data on the Azure Data Lake storage from R, right? And this is again showing you how the data would look like. I didn't change the variable names here, but I mean, the idea is that this is the data as you see it from R, right? And when you've done that, you can actually go and do pretty cool things, right? You can actually, so the beauty about the Microsoft R product, which is slightly different from open source R, is that you can set different compute contexts, right? You can compute right now in the edge node, and that is a local parallel compute context, or you can compute with Spark, right? You can just switch the compute context and say that you don't want to have a Spark compute context, right? You can also use SQL, right? To actually now with the integration SQL Server and R, you can again do that computation inside SQL Server itself. But we don't have a SQL Server. We have an Azure Data Lake store and a HD Insight cluster with me, and I can easily go ahead and do some, you know, summary statistics on this data set itself, right? So again, this is again using local compute context, so which means that it's the edge node right now is reading the data from the data lake store, and now is doing this summary statistics, right? So it'll read data in chunks and process them in a multi-core fashion on the edge node itself. So this is a RX summary function. Some of you are programmers will be familiar with the summary function that basically computes all the summary statistics for all the columns. Here we're doing for all the columns inside this 230 megabyte data set. Okay, and there you go. So we've actually looped through the entire data set, right? It has 10 million rows in this data. We've computed the mean, standard deviation, the min max values, number, if there were missing observations, and A values that were also computed and aggregated, right? So what I've shown you exactly is actually the power of using R on a HD Insight cluster, reading data from Azure Data Lake, right? Okay. Okay, so that actually concludes that demo of running HD Insights R on Azure Data Lake, right? We've come more or less to the end, right? And I'm now opening up for question and answers regarding what I've shown everyone. Okay, yes. So you only pay for what you store in the Azure Data Lake store, and you only pay for when you actually compute with Azure Data Lake Analytics, right? And that's a per query sort of a price model. That's right. Yep. Visualization tools at the moment. I can't confirm, but I believe that Power BI is one of the first tools that will definitely be able to read off the data lake store. Yep.
What are the key differences between HD Insight and Azure Data Lake?
Okay. Well, one key difference is obviously HD Insight, you're really paying at a per VM module, right? And in terms of the compute power, you define that before you initialize your Hadoop cluster, right? You define how many head nodes you have, you define how many worker nodes, etc. And then the size of the VMs, right? You can have a D12, D13 VM, right, as a size. Versus Azure Data Lake Analytics, that's all taken away from you. You don't need to set that up. Again, the infrastructures, you know, it's really based on the size of the data and also the level of parallelism that you give to your query, right? So that it's a completely different model to HD Insight itself. But that said, I mean, we understand that there are also customers that still like the Hadoop platform, the traditional open source Hadoop platform, and that's where HD Insight comes in. Yep. Okay, so we've come to the end. Thank you very much. There, as like of all sessions here at Ignite, you know, please evaluate this session, and you know, if there may be a chance for you to win something, right? And your feedback on this session on Azure Data Lake and the demos that I've done, they are really important to us and also to me. So thank you very much. Thank you all for your time, and have a good Ignite.